Bert, thank you for lightening it up and lightening us up. By way of confession, I'll just tell you that a couple weeks ago, we were praying with our kids at night, and we have a bit of a method. I'm trying to, you know, we're trying to like teach them how to really pray and engage with the Lord, and so we always tell them two thanks, pray for two people, and then ask God for two things. Well, every single day, they are thankful for their dog, okay? We are so abundantly grateful for our dog, Hattie. It's amazing. So every day, they thank God for Hattie. Well, last week, we were praying, and of course, right before prayer time, the boys were fighting each other, because that's how it is in a household with two boys. So they were fighting, and so I was, you know, playing defense and trying to get in between them and harassing them a little bit about that. And so then one of my children prayed, their prayer for someone was that mom would just relax. So that child is no longer with us. But really, I appreciate you helping me to relax a little bit this morning. And no, he's doing just fine. And if all of you could just pray for us, that would be a great thing, because, you know, we could use it. Today, we are continuing our Advent series, looking at the good news of Christ's coming. And like Jace so perfectly, there's just nothing better than hearing a kid recite a memory verse without looking at anything. Love that. As Jace told us this morning, the good news really boils down to this: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. I know that's the verse that we all start with, and it is the very place and foundation that we start with. For God so loved. He so loved. The only demonstration of love that could rival our God giving himself, giving his Son, is when this Son went to the cross 33 years later. For God so loved. It is the love of God that saves us, that changes us, that brings us here today and fuels our very life. The love of God is where we start and it's where we finish. It what draws us, it's what draws us, and it is what keeps us. It is our salvation. And today we're going to look at Zechariah's story and the profound impact that God's love had on him, because God's love changes everything. First, I want to set the stage for Zechariah's story in Luke chapter 1. 400 years had passed since the last prophet, Malachi, had spoken. So there's, in your Bibles, between the last book of the Old Testament and the first pages of the New Testament, represents 400 years. There have been 400 years where heaven has been silent. This is multiple generations that have lived and died without hearing a new word from God. The Israelites are under Roman rule and under the authority of a brutal and a really paranoid King Herod. Zechariah is a priest. Scripture tells us that he's older and he's notably righteous. He's married to Elizabeth and they have been unable to have children, and he just happens to be an uncle to a sweet girl named Mary. He has been chosen by lot to enter the temple and to burn incense. And this was a great honor that some priests never got in their whole life. And then once you got it, you would never again get that honor. So I want to pick up and read in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 11. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord. This is Zechariah standing in the temple. All the people are gathered outside, and they're praying and waiting for Zechariah as he's in the temple. There appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers have been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this?" Or in other words, "How in the world can this happen? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them, but remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. And 9 months later,
"How exciting. I can hardly believe this. This is wonderful."
"I know. I can't believe Zechariah and Elizabeth had a baby. It's a miracle."
"And what an honor for John to have a son. A little Zechariah to carry on the family name."
"Oh, no, no, no. No, he will be called John."
"What?
John.
John?
This doesn't make sense."
"There aren't any Johns in your family. You mean Zechariah's, right?"
"This must be a mistake. Zechariah, you mean to name your son after you, right? But Elizabeth is saying he must be called John. But there's no one in your family named John. This isn't right, right?"
I can speak. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his Savior, of his prophet David. And we have been, we've been saved from our enemies and from all those who hate us. Amen. He's been merciful to our ancestors by remembering the covenant that he made, that he swore with a holy oath to our ancestor Abraham. We've been saved from our enemies. Now we can worship God without fear.
That's
and righteousness and holiness for as long as we live. And you, my little son, you will be called the prophet of the Most High. You will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell people how to gain salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's mercy, the light of heaven is about to break upon us. And it will be a light to all those who live in darkness and in the shadow of death, and guide us to the path of peace. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. His name will be Zechariah, right? You see, the reason for that is because family lines were everything back then. Of course, Zechariah's firstborn son would be named after him. Of course, it was tradition. It was what everyone would have expected. But you see, Zechariah wasn't just chosen by lot, and he wasn't chosen by luck, but he was chosen by love. He was grafted into a story and a family line that was much bigger and much more significant than he could ever have imagined. When Gabriel encountered Zechariah in the temple, it broke that 400-year silence, and heaven began to leak and pour itself out on earth. The divide between the Father and us was starting to break, and the bridge was being built. Zechariah wasn't chosen by lot, but he was chosen by love. You are not here this morning by luck or by chance, but you have been chosen by love. And love changes everything. The love of God changes everything. And we're going to look at the ways that God's love changed Zechariah. And as we do, I just want you to consider this love that is also yours. It belongs to you. He came for you. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you make this real to us today? God, I ask for your presence in this place. Would you encounter your people with your great love? Show us again, God. Cover us. Pierce our hearts with your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Love changes everything. Zechariah went from being a faithful priest to a faith-filled prophet of God. Listen, Zechariah was a respected man. He was a devout priest, a committed husband. He was commendably faithful. And faithfulness is good. It pleases the Lord. And I believe it sets the stage for God to come in the way that he did for Zechariah. But there can be a pitfall in just faithful living. I'm familiar with this one. I'm an Enneagram 1. Is there any other ones in the room? I know, a few of us. I have this bent to do the right thing and do it the right way. The problem is, I think the Pharisees had that bent too. Sorry, ones. Didn't mean to call you out there. The problem is, the pitfall can be that if we're just doing faithfulness out of obligation, if we're just being faithful out of routine, if it's not actually pulling from a place of faith in our lives, it ends up looking like self-righteousness. It ends up just being tasks and checklists and to-dos. I've told this story before, but it was profound for me. I was in one of those modes where it was, you know, got to check things off, get things done, do things right, and I'm plowing through, and I'm driving in my car one day, and I heard the Lord plain as day say, Catherine, Catherine, kind of like the Martha, Martha, Catherine, Catherine, I don't love you anymore because of all that you do for me. There is this thing that still is trying to earn a place in the Father's heart when it has been freely given to us. So I challenge you today, where are you just going through the motions? Where are you praying out of obligation, but not actually expecting any answers to your prayers? Are you coming here on Sunday mornings? That's good. But is it just a routine? Do you not come with an expectancy and a hunger to actually meet with God while you're in this room in the place of worship? Is your tithe just kind of coming off your checking account, the direct deposit thing? I get it. We do that too. But are you not even considering then what you want to do with the rest that God has given you? Are we actually engaging our faith in our faithfulness? God changed this for Zechariah. At the end of the story, as we saw with Dave here, he's prophesying from a place of faith and boldness, not just functioning from the place of a faithful servant. Love changes things. Love changes things. Love took Zechariah from a place of silence to a place of song. Because of his unbelief, Zechariah was struck mute. He was silenced. And I've heard it taught that this was because Zechariah's words could have aborted the forerunner of Christ. We know from Scripture that life and death is held in the power of the tongue. I have to say that that theory, it does hold weight in my spirit, but I can't say that with full assurance, as that's why Zechariah's voice was taken. What we do know is that his doubt was silenced. What we do know from Proverbs 3 and Hebrews 12 is that the Lord disciplines those that he loves. And what we do know is that Elizabeth had a pretty peaceful pregnancy. But God is a God of 1 million second chances. Zechariah didn't immediately agree with the angel. I love, how could this happen to me? And Gabriel's like, I'm an angel sent from God to give you this message. It will be fulfilled. And Zechariah, you will not get in my way. This summer, when we went to Battelle, at one of the centers, there was a young man who was deathly ill. And the leaders of that center gathered around the men who were staying, the men in my family who happened to be at that location that night, and we prayed up and down for this guy. And we were not the only ones who had done it. Every visitor that had come to Battelle, they had had pray for him. And the diagnosis was some kind of liver thing that had come actually from the COVID vaccination that had been improperly given. And it was this whole thing. And his they were like clots going to his stomach. And it was this elaborate medical diagnosis. And the guy was, he was wearing this tag because he had been to the hospital hundreds of times over the past year in near-death situations. And so with all the faith that we had in those moments, we prayed. We went for it. We warred, you know, like coming against this thing, like expecting we were going to see a miracle, like heaven open and this guy like start flying away or something. Like we thought something amazing was going to happen. And we didn't see anything that night. But all of us, our hearts were torn. Our hearts were aching for this young man who loved God and was seemingly in his last weeks, months, or years of life. So months later, in talking with the leaders of this specific center, I brought it up. Been praying for this guy. Been praying for him faithfully. And in conversation came to find out that the whole thing was a lie. The whole thing was a scam. It was just this desire for attention. It was just this weird cry for love and affection. And it devastated my spirit. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I bought it hook, line, and sinker. And I don't have the worst discernment in the world. And then I think about my own devastation. Then I think about these leaders who have walked with him, who have stayed up all night with him, who have prayed over him for a year. And I'm like, how do you hold this? What do you do with this? And they said, well, we sat around the table as a family and we wept. And we cried, we grieved. And then we decided as a family that we'll do it for the next guy. This is how God loves us. This is how God loves us. We blow it, and he weeps. His heart is broken over us. And then he gets up, and he says, all right, I'm ready to love you all over again. I'm going to keep loving you. I'm never going to stop loving you. My love is going to pursue you to the end of your days. I will love you fiercely and without any agenda forever. This is the way that God the Father loves us. In our brokenness, not around it, not overlooking it, grieved by our brokenness, but still loving us to a place of a wholeness and beauty in his sight. You know, something changed in Zechariah during his season of silence, didn't it? Love changed him. God's never-ending love for him, it changed him. Was this a season of discipline for Zechariah? Probably. Are you in a season of discipline from the Lord? Is there a situation that your unbelief has created that you're currently walking in? Can you walk it through? Can you walk it through and decide at the end that God is good and that he's right, and then say it with all of your life? I will declare the goodness of God. I will speak the truth that he has told me to speak. His name is John. I lay down my life, my legacy, all that I am for that of God. It's not about me. It's not about me. But it is completely about his love and the radical transforming power of his love. And Zechariah was changed in that season of silence. So will you let the love of God change you? Will you let it mold you? Will you let it clean you and purify you and restore you? Will you let it take you from a place of silence to a place of song? I think some of us actually need maybe a season of silence. Maybe not even silence with our mouths, but maybe we need a season of silence up here. I know that the perception is that if you stand up here and you speak, then you obviously have some level of great confidence, especially in these heels. I know what y'all think. But the truth is, I have this war that happens in my brain all the time. What am I doing? What do I don't have anything. I don't have anything to say. I look around at all of you and I'm like, I want to sit at your feet. I want to hear what you have to say. Why do you show up every week? Oh wait, it's not about me, is it? See, I have to work really hard to silence that voice in my head. I have to work really hard not to agree with it. And to align myself with the truth that it isn't about me. And that I will make my life all about him. Can you receive God's love even in the season of discipline? And can you let it change you? God's love changes us. God's love took Zechariah and Elizabeth from a season of being barren to a season of being blessed. Zechariah and Elizabeth were barren. They couldn't have children. And when Gabriel stood before Zechariah and announced that they would be pregnant, Zechariah instead lists the impossibilities. I'm old and my wife is advanced in years. He wasn't a totally dumb guy, right? I'm old. She's advanced in years. It's a gentle way of saying it. How can this be? How can this be? Now, the interesting thing to me is that this storyline should not have been unfamiliar to Zechariah. All the primary matriarchs of Israel were advanced in years. Sarah, Rachel, Rebecca. They were all beyond childbearing years. They were all births that happened outside of what was practical and logical. Zechariah would have, he was a priest. He would have grown up. He would have been the one telling the stories of these women. But sometimes stories become stories instead of fuel for our own faith? What if instead of hearing the testimonies of others, we let those testimonies become fuel for our own faith? A couple weeks ago, we had a couple ladies standing up here, one saying, I just kept thanking God for my healing until it came, years later. And then the other, husband, no more cancer. What if we let those testimonies ignite something of faith in our spirits? Can I have the whole worship team up here? I'm kind of springing that on them. Thanks, Evan. I think sometimes what happens is that it's not that we don't believe the miracles, is that we don't believe that God would do them for us. But what if he did? What if he would? Unbelief is a false security. We can't be disappointed if we don't believe. We can't be let down if we don't expect something of God. Gabriel said to Zechariah, he said, I have heard your prayers. I wonder when Zechariah and Elizabeth had stopped praying those prayers, or if those prayers for a child, or if those prayers prayed were just some of those obligatory prayers of, this is just the things that we rattle off, but we don't actually expect that God would move and bless our barrenness and bring us new life. He's heard your prayers, church. He's heard your prayers. Would you stand? First song. Is that okay? Okay. God's love changes things. What do you need God's love to change for you? Listen, for some of you, you absolutely must break out of the just doing stuff. You've got to break out of just the routine of being a Christian. It's got to become real for you. What do you need God's love to change for you? Because it will change everything. I'm going to pray and then we're going to worship. God, thank you for your love that is unending, that doesn't stop, that pursues us. Thank you for the wholeness of your love. Thank you, God, that it is to bring us joy and peace and life. Thank you that it is meant to fill us and overwhelm us. God, I ask right now, would you come and encounter your people with your love? Would you shower us with your love? I just encourage you right now, would you step into that place of God's love?